is Johnny Newman with the Explicit Jesus Music Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in, as well as tuning in last week for the segment on ambience and atmosphere. The title of today's podcast is Sound City and the Art of Lying. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening in to NPR on my way to work, and I heard a segment about this documentary directed by Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters called Sound City. The premise of this documentary is about this recording studio that recorded using analog tape as opposed to digital, and it's about all these great artists who recorded there, from Tom Petty, Neil Young, Metallica, and even Nine Inch Nails. Now, a couple things about analog tape is it has an extremely high fidelity, more so than vinyl and digital mediums. And the thing about it is it sounds very good, providing. Now here is the fine print. Providing the musicians do a great performance in the studio. What's the difference between musicians providing a great performance on tape and musicians providing a great performance digitally? Well, I'm glad you asked, son. But let me rephrase your question. What's the difference between musicians providing a terrible performance on tape and providing a terrible performance digitally? The answer? The tape performance will always sound terrible. The digital performance, however, with the right tools, can be fixed beyond human capabilities. No doubt you've heard of AutoTune. Several audio software developers make this plugin to correct wrong notes and vocal and instrumental performances. Beat Detector is another one. It helps put percussion in the correct timing with the click track or metronome. There's endless amounts of these tools to make performances sound flawless. So, with Sound City and its documentary, newer studios are coming around with digital capabilities, making the services of Sound City and their tape recording method out of date. Artists, for the most part, would rather go to studios with digital capabilities for the reason that they can do multiple takes, taking the best of each one and piecing together a great performance. Mistakes are more easily fixed in digital recording studios, really, and at the end of the day, convenience and accuracy outweighs nostalgia and aesthetic and great musicianship in the music industry. In fact, you don't have to be a great musician at all to sound good in a present-day recording studio. With the analog tape recording method, there's an overwhelming sense of satisfaction, respect, art, and musicianship because of the legitimate great performances happening on the record. It's a good documentary. I suggest you all check it out for yourselves. Very eye-opening to what's going on in today's studios and what our predecessors had to go through in recording albums they get to go. Digital equipment ruling our recording studios, don't you think that live CD or live DVD you purchased of your favorite band sounds a little too good? It's the digital era that makes these live recordings possible. In fact, in the recording world, it's rare that any live recording is very much live at all. My band with Johnny Newman had a performance at a rock club here in Knoxville, at which my producer had the performance audio and video recorded. Some months later now, we've gone back to review the audio and the video. And while the band put on a great performance, the only nearly flawless performance was from our drummer, I mean, the rest of the band put on great performance as well, but still, there's numerous mistakes, and these had to be accounted for in the recording studio with better performances, thus giving us the illusion of live in a recording studio. And it's this pursuit of auditory perfection that influences artists to lip-sync live. The press and fans can be very much unforgiving and dehumanizing to artists who, God forbid, miss a note in a live setting. And it's a real catch-22 that if you're caught lip-syncing, you're scrutinized just as if you had missed a note. However, I cannot help but be a bit morally conflicted. If we do lip-sync, or if we do edit our live performances to make them out to be better than they really were, aren't we essentially deceiving our audience? We are artistically lying. I'm conflicted by this, being a part of an industry that demands perfection in production, editing our live recordings to eventually be released as a polished, unblemished representation of what actually happened. I'm curious about the artists I love in Christian worship that release all, if not mostly, live material. Jesus Culture, Hillsong, Bethel Live. No one sounds that perfect live, period. For worship artists, what is this post-concert production for? To release another great record, yes. To edit out anything that might be a distraction to people worshiping with the live recording, yes. Is the goal in the end to capture what the Holy Spirit is accomplishing live, yet providing an adequate tool for the Holy Spirit to move still with the live recording? That, I don't know. I do know that some artists have gone out independently to record worship in a small setting as is. Phil Wickham's Sing Along album is a great representation of this, as it also helped increase his popularity as a Christian artist. My ultimate conclusion is that the general public doesn't think this much about the issue. Rather, at the end of the day, people want what sounds familiar to them, as we as Christian artists and musicians will reach more people if we're not having them completely change their taste in music, including the quality of how that music is produced. Of course, one might say, if we didn't quote-unquote overproduce our worship music, it may come across as more authentic and personable. However, my guess is that trend might be a fad, like Gregorian chant or, God help us, well songs. In the end, perhaps artistically lying is, dare I say it, a necessary evil. I mean, we could put a disclaimer at the bottom of our live recordings addressing the post-concert in-studio recording and editing. I'd imagine that would go over like a lead balloon. At least until someone files a lawsuit about not experiencing a true live performance on a live album. Perhaps it could be you that files that lawsuit. And that's a new discussion entirely. And I believe that's going to wrap up the Explicit Jesus Music podcast for today. And don't forget, email your questions and comments to explicitjesusmusic@gmail.com. And do check out our blog at our temporary address, johnnynewman.wordpress.com. Well, thank you all very much for tuning in. Until next time, cheers and God bless to you all. This is Johnny Newman pressing the stop button.